What? And a continuation of this is Mr. Weaver, Jim, and Sue. This Sunday, the 8th of August, 71. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit was Mr. Weaver, Jim, and Suzanne, this Sunday, the 8th of August, 1970.
But, you see, they're going to rob me, you see. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mr. Weaver, but in these little fights, it seems like to me, boys sort of like to do that, don't they?
Some of them did, and some of them didn't. Usually, just like that boy there. That boy never.
I'm getting hot, Mr. Weaver.
Okay, come on, get ready. I'll stand here waiting for him to come, and he wouldn't come.
Well, I got interested in what we was talking about.
That's right. Now we're going to see this.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Well.
I don't know. Let me see if these are cut.
Okay.
Well, I'll use these. I can use these here if y'all want to see.
Okay.
I don't think these are going to
be. Right up here, Jim.
Right there, Jim. Let's see what to do. They didn't do so good. You see, they're not straight.
Well, they've been doing all right.
Yeah, but look at that. Look at that. I don't know why that's tied away.
Yeah.
Now, that won't cut right when it's tied away.
Yeah. Well, I'll use the other one then.
You see, sometimes when you're running, it'll straighten up. And it still hasn't straightened up right.
Yeah.
But I don't think I know some cut loose.
Up for the dances?
Say what?
Did you get dressed up for the dances?
Yeah, you dressed up then just like going to church or anything else. People used to dress a lot different what to do now. See, a long time you wouldn't see me on Sundays unless I was dressed up. That's the first thing I did is do what I had to do, you know, all morning around about the livestock. Then I'd go and dress up and go to church or go somewhere. And they would let you dance one step after 12 o'clock. On Saturday night.
Is that right?
That's right. I'd forgotten that.
One step.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you, I like the way they did it. Now, I wouldn't go to these places where they do now. They'll throw bottles at you and get drunk and everything.
Yeah.
I don't play that kind. I never did like rough playing.
Well, Mr. Weaver, that does good.
Yeah, that'll cut, you see.
Uh-huh.
Look here, see how this goes? I'm going to let you cut a little bit now. Yeah. You see? Well, I cut. Now you come cut right there. Well,
how you put your hands down?
Cut your fingers more at the end.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Before you wait and work your fingers. Yeah. Now cut just a little. Don't go too far. Cut this on the neck. I'll see how.
And you put it down like that.
Let it go right against the skin now. Hold it down against it. Don't back too hard. You ain't moving your fingers fast enough.
No.
Well, that's all right now. You see what you done? See, you didn't notice how I tape it.
Oh,
yeah, I see.
Now, come on around with it. Just don't go no higher than that. That's going to bother me about cutting
then
it.
Then you can fix it.
Get it back from that way back down there now.
Okay.
Work your fingers, put them, come together, make them pop.
But it makes the flippers jerk.
Well, I know, but you can't have that. You like learning to balance that. Now, come on, cut this down here. There you go, get it now. You got to learn to hold it just.
I jerk it on up.
Yeah, that's what I had to learn with.
You better fix it up.
It's like learning to drive a car with a automatic transmission, Mr. Weaver.
Look how fast I run the fingers.
Yeah.
I can't hold it steady and even being
perspiring.
It makes it harder to. It sticks. No matter what you do, it's going to happen right on.
Yeah, need a little powder.
Yeah, I used to put powders on people that way.
And you could use those all day.
Yes, I've used them till 2 o'clock the next morning. Start at 7 in the morning.
Well, you have to have strong hands.
Well, you see, I've done this so much, you see. You handle your tart. I'd be glad if someone come in for a shave sometimes. Sometimes I get so tired with the razor, I'd be glad someone come in for a haircut or something, or a massage or something.
How about that?
You have to get started using those things. Mm-hmm. See, when you change, if it's mixed up pretty well, it didn't tar you so bad.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. Gets tiresome and monotonous.
Mr. Lee, it sounds like you do all the time. Fur trap, buy furs a while and barber a while.
Well, I buy just more furs night and day, you see, about 3 months.
Oh.
In the winter, I get someone to work in the barber shop for me. Part of the time, I didn't own the shop. I just worked through the summer in it for the other fellow.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't mind a little responsibility then.
You better off working real busy and going than you are. I was. I never could. I never did. I reckon because I grew up that way. Be about 9 o'clock and 10 and 11 before I'd retire at night, and 4 o'clock the next morning I was up. I had to get up and go to the barn to feed my livestock. And in the wintertime, my father, he'd have someone cutting cross ties for him, and he'd haul cross ties to town 8 miles. We'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd try to make 2 loads a day, you see. And it'd be about, after dark when he'd get in and leave, and we had to feed up and let the horses eat while we eat breakfast, and he stayed at the farm warm while we went and put the harness on and hitched the horses up. Mules up for him, going home. Then we'd get ready and go to school and walk 3 miles to school.
Well, how do you know?
Well, he did us good. He didn't hurt us.
Did you have him cut out the cross tie?
No. That's one thing I wanted to do, and I never could do. Anybody could beat me at cutting cross ties.
I never saw it done. What's the trouble with that?
Huh? Well, I was left-handed, and the broad axe was right-handed.
Yeah.
Well, they used a broad axe.
Yeah.
With a flat side.
One of them, when they got there, he had some pines. It was hard pines and slim, you see. I know one of my cousins by marriage, Williams from Tennessee, he had bought a farm up there, and he'd get up every morning at 4 o'clock and go out there and he'd either carry off a load of cross ties and come back and drive out 8 miles and back and cut out 20 the same day.
20?
20 of them the same day. I couldn't cut out 5 in a day. But now I could still go out there to clean up land and clearing and all like that. Nobody couldn't beat me using an axe like that. Or cutting timber for a sawmill. I could do that. Pull a tree anywhere I wanted to fall near it.
Oh, you could?
Yeah, anything. I could tell you how much lumber you could cut out of that tree and it was standing up there. All like that. But I couldn't. I helped my cousin one day and he said, let's go down. I'm going to town. He says, I believe I'll take a load of cross ties to town. We went down there and he got up there and every lick he hit, it just right. When I got one, I worked just as hard as I could, and I got one finished, he'd already finished 3.
I
tried and I wanted to do that so bad, but I just couldn't do it. And I had some cousins just sit up there and just take the time. And every lick they hit counted.
When
I hit it, it looked like it was wrong. It wouldn't go nowhere. I don't know what it was.
Is that right?
I never did learn it.
But you could use an axe for...
Cut down a tree or anything like that and trim up limbs or cut wood or anything like that. I could use it as much as anybody.
Yeah.
But when I got up there cutting out a cross tie...
Yes.
It'd take me so long and I'd get disgusted.
Yeah.
And the other fellas could just hit and look like it'd break off easy for them.
Yeah.
And they weren't hitting as hard as I was.
Yeah.
It's just the way they was doing it.
How do you know?
You can make a tree just fall where you want it to?
Yeah, if it's not leaning too far, you can't, but you can. You can take wedges, you can pull them around, or you can make them go where you'd think that they couldn't if they lean as far this way.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Did you ever cut any timber?
Have I?
Uh-huh.
Yes. I never cut timber, Mr. Weaver, but I've cut a whole lot of trees,
yeah.
And we've cut up wood for firewood.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a lot of times you won't show one to keep hitting certain things, you know.
Yeah.
Just lean a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you knew how to do that, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not supposed to use this other hand, but I can't balance it as good. See, it don't cut good when you get out like this. You got to take your shoe and do that. Yeah.
No, I think working in the wood is about as good a job as I ever had.
I like to do that.
Yeah. I use a cross-cut saw a whole lot.
Turn around just a little bit. Oh, does this turn?
Sure.
Well, turn around now.
Which way?
We can move it too. We can move back this way. We don't have an electric gripper. Don't make any difference. Move back for you and turn around. We'll hit that. Now just keep turning around as I want to.
This saw right here, Mr. Lee. I'll turn around. I'll turn where you say. I use a cross-cut saw, right smart.
Now come in, you haven't seen me do this with these. Yeah, that comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's shaping it.
Sure, it's a little bit dull at the point. All the sharpening didn't do it.
Get it just right, don't you?
Mm-hmm. This is where we used to have to do it all the time, you see. Or we got other campers. Let's see, you don't have this clip the way up, do you? On the side, mister? Or do you want me to run the clippers up on the side or just use the shears?
Just use the shears, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't think I was wrong in it. You thin it with this.
That's what you did when you went up to Tennessee, wasn't it? Good job working in timber, was it?
Yeah, that's what I done up there. I worked a little bit on the farm there, about a week or two, about a couple of weeks. It was about through.
Yeah.
I'd quit. Lumber went down. I decided I wasn't going in the lumber business, and I quit that. And see, when what I was working for at the sawmill, the main thing was then is to learn something about it. I didn't go in business myself. But you could just take any little old pine sap, and you could buy the timber. You could buy it for $1,000. That's all you had to pay for it.
Oh, really?
Well, get $35 a year before you made some money on it when you got it and sold.
So.
And
yeah.
In about 6 or 8 months, the bottom fell out, and you couldn't sell two before, so the same thing as selling for $35 would bring you $10.
Goodness.
Well, I'm not going to in the sawmill business now.
No, sir, that is the wrong time.
See, so many people go into a business and they don't know nothing about it. It's best to have a little experience. Of course, naturally, you got the hard experience hand, you know. But sometimes you don't have, you can't get experienced hands.
So you just got to show them.
Yeah, and if you don't know yourself, how are you going to show them?
Oh, one nice thing about lumber, you see, especially just sawing it up with crosscut saw, you're out there where it's fresh in the woods and
pretty fresh, yeah.
Yeah.
I worked up there over at Collinswood for a fella from sunup to sundown cut timber for $17 a month and board. But he,
is that
he
right?
you couldn't have quit that man hard if you'd wanted to. He was a fine man and a hard working man.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, and he said people couldn't work unless they eat.
Yeah.
He wanted them.
He'd pay them.
He'd pay them too. He'd pay you what he told you to pay you. Every week, when the time come, or at the end of the month, he paid for the month. Your money was ready. I saved more money than I did working $1.50 a day at another sawmill.
Yeah.
You lose so much time, you know, on account of weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At $1.50, well, your board, you had to pay 50 cents a day for board, you see. I wanted to see, I just made $1 a day, you know.
Yeah.
How you doing, Jim?
Oh, man.
This is a little longer, it takes a little longer to cut it this way, but you can get just as good a haircut.
Mr. Weaver, it'd be nice if you could get bored now by the month, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I sure wouldn't bat no more. I burned up some. I tried to do something and I ran out this morning yesterday afternoon. I ran out to do a little something else and I got back and I had a big pot of beans and just going to heat them up. I stayed a little too long and I got back in there and burned them up.
Yeah.
That's what I hate about. Now, if I've got nothing, don't try to do too many things. They used to, I could go ahead and do several different things that way, but
yeah.
I can't do it anymore. I can't. I
have to stand there and watch them, Mr. Weaver, else
I do too. I went out yesterday afternoon and something happened that I wanted, did the one thing I didn't aim to do, you know, an extra, and I got back my beans burned up.
Yeah.
I rushed in there and I knew I'd messed up. I made this Kentucky Wonder beans, paid 39 cents a pound for them.
Oh, not just canned beans.
No, the canned beans won't, man, I won't sleep a bit if I eat canned beans all day. I sometimes have to eat them, but it sure does mess my stomach up.
Uh-huh. I imagine anybody tell the difference if they noticed enough.
Mr. Weaver, we've got some Kentucky Wonder beans grown out there now.
You have?
Yeah, the vines.
No beans,
you ain't got
yet?
No beans on them yet?
Well, you see, we've already had them go through.
That's
the
what
vines.
Those were, those we gave you before.
I know that those were really good.
We'll have some more pretty soon, maybe.
Through the winter, once a week, we can get them up town most of the time.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, they have them. One of the places in the store from now on, they begin to come in now. And now it's altogether different, those Kentucky Wonders. I knew that's Kentucky Wonders when I looked at them. When y'all gave me.
Mr. Weaver, I can't anymore tell a bean apart from another bean.
Well, you see, for about 10 years, I run a produce business here.
Mm-hmm.
And, y'all wonder me doing so many things. See, I did, produce business that lasted about, two or three months, and fur business lasts about two or three months.
Oh.
And I wasn't doing it 12 months in a year, like jobs, you know. People don't understand when I say I was a produce dealer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you just local produce.
Yeah.
Well, I was raised here.
I didn't go up and buy and sell. See, the farm, this used to be a great trucking section in here.
Oh, yeah.
All this pasture, all this year was farm. Lots of produce came off this place. Richardson's over there. I don't know how many hundred tons of cattle I sold for them.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of other people. See, I went over around Wilson Roaring back in there and had a lot of the white horses. Produce for them.
Oh, really?
I didn't prove with anything with shipping much. I tried that. They send back right back with freight.
Yeah.
Charged back to me. I sold direct to trucks. That's just kind of business I was in.
Yeah.
I collected when I sold it. Sometimes some of them come in, you know, and I'd back them up in it a little bit and help them, let them pay me when they come back.
You lose money on, you go shipping by freight.
Well, if you go selling too much on the credit. Now, there's one young fellow from Georgia, and his mother came with him, and he is to help him out, you know, and he's going in the trucking business. He's buying cheap stuff all the time, real grade.
Yeah.
And you see, they seem so nice and honest and fair and everything. I told him, I says, if you let me load your truck one time, out of this best grade that I've got, you carried on, you won't never buy any more of that cheap stuff. He, of course, he couldn't say nothing. He got back, went back and seen his mother again. I told him, I says, now, if you haven't got the money with you, you can pay me what you have, what you pay for the cheap stuff, and I'll let you carry it on and sell it. You pay me to get back. Now, if I didn't know what I'm talking about, I wouldn't make that proposition to you. He went on, and you know what? So that boy got on his feet, soon had him two trucks were running, and he never bought no more cheap stuff. He said, yeah, I had to ask him when he came back. I said, how'd you come out? You didn't have to stay on the market long, did you? He said, no, sir, said the boy, just as soon as I got there.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's the way to do all the best. And from then on, and he didn't bother nobody else for me because me helping him out, you know, he appreciated it. Then he figured out to treat him right and wouldn't give him no bad stuff either. And you can't, if you go to run the business and you get, there's too much competition. You couldn't crook nobody if you did. You wouldn't never have no, business. If you cook the farmer, I told him, I said, if I cook a farmer, he won't let me have nothing else. If I cook a truck driver, he won't come back and buy from me anymore. And I said, it just won't work, it won't pay.
Well, that's all those produce men did, was crook the farmer, Mr. Weaver.
Oh, some of them would. So some of them cook them they was pretty nice to me. I had a lot of them. I had some crooks come in and get stuff and load it, you know, and claim they didn't have no money and all like that and get. I had some of them arrested and they got back. They come back to get another load and a check. I'd already called the bank to see if it was good and they said no.
Oh.
And they come back to they were going to get the second load, you know, and give a check. And instead of that, I just had them arrested and they paid. They had to war back and get my money, and they wired it to me.
Yeah.
You can do that, too.
Well, you had to be a little tough every now and then.
No, you don't have to be tough. You just got to be strict to business. That's business.
Yeah.
Now,
you got to be smart about it.
See, they didn't tell me they was going to give me a check until after I got it loaded.
Yeah.
Oh,
You know, that's the trouble about being in business, Mr. Weaver. You don't get paid until you've already performed. And then they can hold it up on you and give you all sorts of trouble.
Well, you see, one fella over here, Mr. Richardson's down there, you know, I sold him, and he's going to have the money wired to him to Gainesville, and we went to Gainesville, and it hadn't come in, and We called up and kept messing around. The truck loaded over there, and I told Mr. Richardson, I said, don't let nobody move it out of here.
Yeah.
Truckload of cabbage, whole truckload he's going to get away with.
Yeah.
So that he went ahead, you know, and I told him, I went back over there and he said they eventually warned that it had a truckload of greens, high priced greens, turned over going to Nashville, and there's plenty of trouble, didn't have no money. That's what eventually warned back to him, you know.
Yeah.
I went over and talked to Mr. Richardson. Now, Mr. Richardson, I says, we'll let him take it on and sell it. If he'll give us a bill of sale of the truck and sign what I write down for him to sign. And I would go up there and let Mr. Thrasher, the Notary Public, notarize it. And I put down what he has to do is take it and sell it and bring it back and bring the money back, you know, and I had and took a bill of sale of his truck, too. He carried on. I didn't see him. I got to ask some of the other truck drivers about him, you know, and they checked up for me. And one day I seen him pass. And I had several in town watching for him. I got in my car and called him up the road a piece and told him that. Oh, they was going up there and buying some potatoes, and this other fella, he was going to pay for them. He'd seized, he sent the money right back. I said, well, now I'll fool with as long as I'm going to. I said, now I'm going to do something about it. I said, if I just want to be show my authority, I says, I can carry you right on to Gainesville now and put you in jail. But I says, I don't want to do nobody any harm. Well, this other fella, he'd back it up, you know. He'd guarantee it. He went on, I didn't see him. So it was Mr. Mott, I believe it was, from Atlanta. I just gave him all these papers, you know. And I said, you go up there, just turn it over to the federal government, these papers I got here. Next day, he wired me my money.
Yeah, that right.
He wired me my money, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you see, I could have got off with I wasn't supposed to pay the license if I didn't want to, but I paid the $10 federal license. I was paying every license I had. And I growed stuff, too. I'd furnished some of the farmers a little bit, you know, a few of them, and not very much. I didn't get in there really as considered a farmer. Just some of them, you know, would be a little short, you know, and I'd buy the seed and fertilizer for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, sir, you, and I had that bill of sale of that truck and everything. He couldn't move nothing. I don't guess he could even sell anything else anymore. See, even the federal government gets a hold of it, it's rough. I could have carried him on to jail. I was a deputy marshal, and I could arrest him any time I wanted to.
You were a deputy marshal?
Yeah.
How come you got, you were deputy marshal, Mr. Reeling?
Well, there's a big fella tried to take, Mr. Cannon was an old man, and he is our marshal.
Yeah.
And they tried to take his gun, trying to take his gun away from him, and help be another fella close. Seen him and run out there and helped him. And he told me that big nigger would have took his gun away from him. Said he just about had it when the other fellow got there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, don't you go anymore by yourself. And I says, when it comes to these bad cases, I'll go with you, Mr. Cannon. See, I'd boarded with him. His wife run a hotel, and I stayed with him about 4.5 years.
At Meganophy?
Yeah. So that...
Ed Cannon.
As Bruce Cannon.
Bruce Cannon. And his wife run the hotel.
Yeah.
Was that the Carolina?
No, not Lavender Inn. It's Three Hill. It's a Tuscarola hotel.
Oh, was it?
They're tearing that down. I done tore most of it down. See, the other day they're tearing down the room I stayed in now for 4 years. I wanted to buy that place, but I never could buy it. It never would price it to me.
Where is it?
It's right down town. I couldn't buy it now if I ever did sell it to you, but I wanted to at that time. That was really hard pine lumber it was built on.
Bruce Cannon.
Yeah, Bruce Cannon was a marshal up there.
And his wife run the...
She did for a long time.
Hotel. And you boarded with them for 4 years.
Yeah. I stayed in the Carolina house for about 4 years, too.
Oh, you did?
After that, after they quit. And they quit running it.
Who was running the Carolina house?
Carvin's.
Yeah.
Well, when I stayed there, Ms. Taylor run it a while, but the Carvin's had run it, and they still owned it, Ms. Taylor. I stayed there, then an insurance man and his wife, but she was an ex-nurse from Jacksonville, bought it out, and I stayed on with them then. Well, all put together in the Carolina house about 4 years.
Let's see, who that?
I was back in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Well, in the 20s when that was, because when I got married in the 28.
Oh, you did? But that didn't last long.
13 years.
That's a good one. Oh, 13 years? All through the 30s.
On into the 40s.
How did
1 year, 41.
How did she put up with you that long, Mr. Wheeler?
I couldn't understand it myself.
You was in and out and couldn't keep track of you?
Well, it wasn't no use. I was working somewhere. When I was out, I was working.
Sure. But, you know, I always liked those old hotels. You know, they were...
Oh, you could eat in there, and they had home cooked. And they had a big business, you see. These highways wasn't built then, you see, back in the first of the 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, mankind, those hotels were full every night.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And during tourist season, you see, they couldn't drive very far then. The road was too bad.
Yeah.
And when we was building these highways through here, they'd get stuck and have to stay overnight, you know, and couldn't get out. People was up there, farmers up there with pair of mules and pulling those cars out all up and down the road, you know, packed all night.
Pick up $2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd pick up $5, you know, get... $3 to $5 to pull them out.
Yeah.
Some of them maybe kept it just a little wet.
No, it just that way. This land was much wetter at that time.
Yeah.
Much more rain then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you couldn't get off of it. And if you went running for this grade and building those grades, mankind. Nothing but a T-model could go there then, hardly. That's what I was using then, the T-model.
Yeah. Those hotels, Mr. Weaver, you could go down to the dining room and sit down and just help yourself.
They used to have, when I was working in Gainesville about 15, 20 years ago, Ms. Coulson run a place, old country style, Right there at the back of Keeter's place.
Yeah.
Back around about a block from there.
Yeah.
And I was working at the University of Cartman for. And a bunch of us would go out there and eat dinner. Big table from across, two or three tables from across. And they'd be standing in line there at noon. And we'd have to wait for a place to sit down just so.
Oh, really?
They'd jump up and leave. And 75 cents is what I was paying.
Yeah.
It cost me that to fix my lunch. And,
and
this boy from Lake Butler was working up there, and we all worked close together, and we'd ride up there. I'd ride up there with him, you see. And we'd take time about riding. Well, at that time, I'd sold my truck. I got a chance to sell it for three or four times what it really worth, and I sold it, thought I'd soon get to buy me one, but I couldn't buy one nowhere.
What'd she have on the table, Mr. Weaver?
Had all kinds of meat. Didn't matter what in the world you wanted to eat. You see, a lot of people don't eat the same thing. There's always plenty of everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to worry you to death today talking in
the... And vegetables. Day. All the vegetables.
Yeah.
That was...
And all
and
kinds
seafood.
Of meat. They even had boiled white meat there. A lot of people like that, you know. I used to, but after I had stomach trouble, I couldn't use it. I couldn't eat it.
And bread?
Had biscuits, cornbread, and light bread, which just one you want.
Yes, sir.
Didn't make any difference what you had. Ain't like it does now. Man, I go down to the truck stop and eat some down there. I'd eat all the time down there, but I don't have that kind of money. Of course, it's $1.35, $1.30, and $1.40 to eat down there.
Oh.
That much?
Yeah. They have to. By the way, they serve pretty good down at the truck stop. Mm-hmm. They can't...
Well, there's no economy meal you can eat down there. You don't eat a whole meal anyhow. You don't eat that much.
Well, I do if it's the right kind of food, something that's not going to hurt me, I care.
You can.
I don't like to eat hamburger steak all the time, or stew. I need a little stew, something like that, you know. Can't eat any hog meat at all.
How come? None at all?
I don't eat hog meat in about 2 years.
None at all?
Put a little bit of time in my vegetables cooking. It's not good unless you do.
Yeah, that's right.
But then I can't eat it.
Is that blood pressure or something?
Because I have had an ulcerated stomach.
Oh.
And hog meat just don't go with those things, does it?
No, it sure doesn't.
Well, that's too bad. You see, that's the trouble with Miss Guthrie.
She still eats hog meat?
She simply can't live without hog meat.
Well, I'll tell you what, so if you can get there, if you can find medicine. Now, I can do this. I can buy a Willard tablets, cost about 7 cents a piece. I could buy those and take one after eating every time, and I can get by pretty good. But I'll soon go back on my diet, and the diet, it gives you no pork at all.
Oh.
No tomatoes, nothing that's acid. See, I have too much acid in my system.
Mm.
But you can eat those peppers?
It doesn't bother me too bad. I don't eat a part of pepper. I just eat just enough to flavor it.
Mr. Weaver, I got some of that pepper, the juice from those peppers on my lip last night and on my fingers, and it made my lip almost blister. It swole up, you know, and for about an hour, I'd have to keep getting glasses of water. It hurt
well,
so bad.
Well, you made it nasty, didn't
I? I
didn't
know.
Listen, when it goes to burn in, close your lips.
Yeah.
Put the fire out.
Oh.
Get that away. As long as you try to wet it, you make it burn.
Oh, no wonder it wouldn't stop.
What the way to do that now until you get used to it, and is to just cut it a little fine up in your vegetable as you cook it, and it gets all through it, and you don't get it all at one time. That's what makes it burn. Don't open your mouth and let air get to it now. That makes it burn worse.
That truck stop, though, conditions being the way they are, Mr. Weaver, it looks to me like that would be a all right to eat over there once a day. They their best meals is at noon, I guess.
Yeah, that's the only time you get anything to eat. You see, if you happen to be out of town, if you ain't there about before 2 o'clock, you don't get anything to eat. You can't get nothing to eat.
Oh,
2
o'clock?
Yeah. After 2 o'clock, you see, you can't get nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
That makes me hungry, just think about it.
Mr. Weaver, in the hotel where you stay, could you just go in anytime and get a meal, or?
Well, not after a certain length, but I believe about 3 o'clock. And they have to do this cooking supper there, you see.
Oh,
uh-huh. And
yeah.
They had to let their help get off and rest a while. You see, they'd get up at 4 o'clock or more and go to cooking.
Oh.
And they'd have to let them have a break, you know, about in the afternoon, you see. Some of them closed the kitchens at after 1 o'clock because the fact that everybody doesn't come in and eat and go back to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I stand at Ms. Cannon's there, and I was barbering and in business, you see, I could come in at meal time, but they'd leave mine in the stove, you see, and I'd go in the kitchen and
oh, yeah.
and eat. They wanted me when I wasn't there to not pay them for that for the meals when I'd go out, be off on the road, you know.
Yeah.
And Ms. Cannon, they'd have a hard time making a go of it. I said, Ms. Cannon, I said, now listen, she's going to give me a discount. I was paying her $30 a month. And straight, you see. I says, listen, Miss Cannon, I says, if you don't never know when I'm coming in and you've already prepared the interview, you may not sell it. And you'd have to throw it away. And I says, my business that I have to get out and can't come in and can't get it. I says, now, I don't like to eat out in restaurants, as you're kidding me. That one thing gave me a stomach trouble eating in restaurants too much.
Yeah, it'll do it, yeah.
See, they didn't half cook the food, you know.
Yeah.
Mm.
I told her, I says, I'll tell you, if I get to where I can't pay you $30 a month, if I can't make enough to pay you that, I says, I'll let you know, then you can do, you give me a discount on it. I never did because I was able to work. I wasn't sick, and I was able to work.
Mm.
And it's not like it is now. I couldn't do anything like that. Now I'd have to go back to batching. I don't like batching. I'm bored now if I had the money, but I can't pay it.
You would?
Yes, sir. But I can't pay the board bill.
I thought you preferred the batch.
In a way, I do because I have to eat certain things. And
yeah.
A lot of people, some places I'd go in restaurants when I was on a diet, back in the 30s, strict diet, and I'd ask them to, would they fix me some dry toast? I wasn't allowed to eat nothing but dry toast, you know, couldn't eat butter ni nothing. And so that they'd say, you only fix it one way, sir, one way.
Oh, really?
When
is
they
that
said,
right?
When they said that, I walked out. I'd go somewhere else, and I'd have them to tell me, he said, we don't understand. We don't know how to fix it. You go back there and fix it like you want it.
Yeah.
All right. You see, way I advertised my business back then, if any trappers happened to be in town, I'd take them down and pay for their lunch.
Oh, did you?
And that they made a lot of, now that got all the trappers going in there to eating, you see. Well, they'd tell me, go back there and fix it. And I said, I'll go back there and show you how to fix it. Then if you learn, then somebody else calls for it, you can go ahead and fix it. So just put it in your oven up there and not have it too hot,
mm-hmm.
and let it dry out crisp.
Yeah, yeah.
And I says, that's the way I've got to eat it. See, buttered toast was worse than just dry bread.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You still watch me cut this hair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do it up on the top, huh? That was a place in town in Micanopy that you'd bring the trappers?
Well, we had two restaurants there part of time. Well, you take, I tried to get some of them, I didn't have any money, enough money to run the business. I tried to get some of them to go in business that had plenty of money with me, and we'd go 50-50 in it for business. They'd laugh at me. Well, I'd bought furs in Alabama up there when I was starting out 15 years old buying furs. And I knew how to handle them, you see. You see, this is how it goes this way. Now look at
mm-hmm.
this. Push it back.
Yeah.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then let it go back to the sea until you get there.
Who's the best cook over at the truck stop?
Well, I don't know. You take all three of them. Night, their two daughters, pretty good cook, but they have a cook part of the time in there.
Yeah.
But they all cook pretty good.
What do you call them?
Naoka is the youngest girl's name, and Vivian is the second girl, and then Ms. Adkins.
What do you call? You call her Ms. Adkins?
Uh-huh. That's the one that runs the place, Ms.
Yeah.
Adkins.
But she can cook, too.
Yeah, she's a good cook, too.
We ought to eat over there sometime, oughtn't we?
It's a good place to eat.
You know, that's right. Now, how much would it cost? Well, you know what I'd like to do, Mr. Weaver? I would like to batch, except for I'd like to have one hot meal. And it's too much trouble to cook it every day.
Well, at noon, you see, but if you're working, you don't have time to cook to a restaurant every time to eat out that way. And you're working in different places, you see. If you're right close, now when I was working at the university up there, we'd run up at Ms. Colson and have. We'd eat dinner. We had an hour off, you see.
Yeah.
And we'd eat dinner, then we'd go back and we'd get back by work time. But when I was working with those big contractors in Gainesville up there, you just have 30 minutes off. Well, you have to carry your lunch. Because you can't go nowhere
mm-hmm.
in 30 minutes
right.
and back.
Yeah.
How about you order to cut off the top this time?
I don't know. Whatever you think. You mean you haven't taken any off yet?
Not really over the top. I went away up on the side, but I've got any on top yet. I want to see one of your sides is supposed to stick up. It's just right here. Don't want to lie down like that.
Yeah. That's right. That's the trouble with it. Hey, Mr. Weaver said if he had the money, he'd just board out.
I heard him say.
And eat at a place like the truck stop every day.
Yeah, it's good.
But you can't get what you need sometimes, not like I am, and that's what hurts. I go down there and say, God, if I can eat it, and if I can't, I just have to pay for it and leave it.
Oh, they don't have the same thing every day.
What's that?
They don't just have a menu, that, you know, and you just...
Well, they have menus, but you see, some of the stuff, you know, I'm not supposed to eat anything with leaves. I eat a little of once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
With leaves on it. I'm not supposed to eat anything with leaves on it. Haven't been there since back in the 30s.
Anything with leaves on it?
Yeah. Leaves, like turnip greens.
Oh.
I like burgers, but they'll keep me awake all night if I eat it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Turnip greens, well, if they're not leaves, just tender and just eat a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And take some medicine for it. And it makes, I don't like to tell too much of that, but it makes it hard on you. You see, that's the reason that I've been batching so much.
Yeah.
See, I had a bad ulcerated stomach. They'd burst in my stomach and they'd make me sick and I'd have to earth them up.
Huh.
Yeah. You really had it, didn't you?
When you get like that, you've got to learn to eat like what don't hurt you.
Well, now he really got you a good haircut.
You take anything that's called acid, they don't mean to eat it. See, I'm not supposed to eat it. I weighed 114 pounds for a long time.
Huh.
When I get a bro 120, I carry all the more comes with me.
Yeah. How much you like to weigh?
About 140, 145.
Mm-hmm.
I weighed 150 in that picture you made there.
This one?
Oh. About 120, 25 all right way now.
You were pretty thick then, Mr. Weaver, pretty heavy, just heavy. You had a lot of flesh on you.
Well, I was...
Muscle.
I had a lot of muscle on me, of course. I did a lot of hard work then. And I don't have the teeth to make it fill out like I used to.
Show me another picture, Suzanne. I haven't seen.
Show him a picture right here.
That one?
There's a dog that wasn't run till it's over 2 years old, and I trained and raised all my dogs come down from that one right there.
Oh.
And that's the way I used to keep that place before I couldn't work and do anything.
Yeah, see, right out to the highway.
Yeah, right
yeah.
On. Kept everything back on Dr. Dale's. Cleaned up.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Oh, really?
It looked like a decent place then, don't I?
Yeah.
I have to do the best I can now.
Oh, you sure have let it grow up, haven't you?
Well, you see, you couldn't see those houses when I first moved there. I had to cut a road in and cut a road out.
Yeah. Well, what do you know?
But I can't keep it cleaned up. I'm just not able to do it now. I think every day I'll get some more cleaned up and something happens to the cave.
Well, I tell you, once you let them little old mimosas and oak trees get a start on you,
they're hard
to stop.
They are hard to get out.
Golly, Mr. Weaver, I like it the way it is now.
What'd you say?
I like it the way you got it now. I'd hate to have to be looking at those cars all day long.
Mr. Weaver,
cut the sound off a great deal. It's much better.
Sure.
Suzanne said you had one of her puppies had a lot of fleas on him. He'd been out visiting. And you put some of your flea lotion on him.
Mm.
And them fleas all come to the surface.
They're dying. Right there.
Yeah. And you keep some made up?
Yeah, I can make that up. I keep stuff to make it all the time.
Yeah.
Have to.
Well, you keep a little grease and a little kerosene.
Yeah, fried meat grease and kerosene and sulfur.
And sulfur.
I used to use burnt motor oil, but everywhere they go, they make such a mess, I don't use it anymore.
Oh.
I had to put my puppies up the other day. One either said that theirs kept coming over and just eat up the fleas covered and bringing them over there, you see. And mine got to going over there, you see, and getting full of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they was messing the floor up, and she ought to see it, where she, her porch up. Yeah, larger than this table, where she'd spill paint down, and just an awful mess you ever see. And she'd want me to tie up the floor, you know, and fix it for her. But I can't let my puppies run loose no more.
Yeah.
But she's got one now. She put Frank's puppies up, and she's got one that stays in the house, and all around there, it's covered with fleas all the time.
And stays in the house?
And Frank, a little boy, brought it over there night before last and got them all in my house all for me.
Well, look, Mr. Williams, it looks to me like you'd get fleas all the time, just like that.
You
can't put that flea remedy on yourself.
Well, I'll tell you what, so I don't smell like a dog and they don't get on me.
Well, ain't that what it is?
That's just a joke, Miss Mom.
Well, I tell you,
I smell like a dog.
They get on
I
me.
I get so.
Oh, they do. And just one flea crawling on you?
I didn't know they got on you.
Well,
some people just come over there, come in there, you know, and if they're flea anywhere, they'll make for that person, and they'll stand there and won't get on it.
How about that?
I use so much that medicine and flea and put out malathion and stuff. I reckon that's the reason that They don't
bother me.
Yeah, yeah. But they never did bother me much. You get on my right quick, but they're not going to stay with you.
Well, now, she said this little puppy, after he got the fleas off and rolled over in the dirt out there, he'd walk around, and them other dogs...
Well, drug brothers.
Yeah.
They can smell that stuff. They didn't want to let them.
Oh, they... that kerosene ain't popular.
They don't like that. Dog don't like nothing. It burns a little bit or don't like nothing that smells.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah. You give them one dose of it and they get wise to it. Had a little one of those puppies will be going to have, I won't see it till the way of the night. If I catch it there or a dog put it on you. You won't catch it. It's gone to them, but you don't find it. I got to slip out there and catch it at night after it comes up to eat. It won't come up to eat. Me or calling it either.
It won't even come up to eat.
No, they're wise.
With you calling.
Yeah. Now, if it don't keep smelling the kerosene or that stuff I fix up, it'll come any time I call it.
Yeah.
But boy, if it... I catch a puppy and they see me putting it on it, he'll run. You wouldn't think it'd burn that quick, but
yeah. And the old dogs, they don't mind it?
They don't like it either. But they know they got to take it or I catch them, you see.
Yeah. They are on chains.
They can't run.
Let me tell you, Miss Weaver, on the strength of what you told me about it, I put a little kerosene in my fly. I have a little, you know, they got that fly poison.
Yeah.
And you put it in burnt oil or something like that. So I put a little kerosene in. And you know what? I noticed I'd put it on them a time or two. And I noticed when I got my paintbrush out, they all got their heads up.
Yeah, they got wise to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that there. Anything to get wise to that. They smell a little older. They're going to run from it.
Yes, sir. And they got their nose up and.
That's right.
Let me get this up down from the bottom now, and that keeps it from falling off.
They got the nose up. And they kind of, when I went around to paint a little of that stuff on them, they kind of moved out from under the brush.
Yes,
and you see, I use that little box of powder in it, see, and I just throw a little on them, and they don't even look up.
They don't pay no attention.
They don't pay attention to that. It's got no odor.
If you got that kerosene in there, they will, won't they?
Yes, sir.
But I'll tell you right now, it'll sure keep the flies and get every insect and kill a tick. Kerosene will kill a tick as soon as it hits it, fleas or anything.
Yeah.
See, I use the sulfur, you see. That leaves an odor to keep them off and it's... So the kerosene hits a tick or flea or anything, it kills a fly, it kills it.
It does the work.
You can take one of these poison spiders, you know, and drop one drop, and it'll kill any spider there. One drop right on the back.
Huh. Yeah.
It won't live no time. It's dead. Did you ever try it?
No, I didn't know that.
Those fleas, sure, just like that, they're
gone.
Yeah.
They don't just leave. They're dead.
They die. They're dead.
They just got enough energy to wiggle to the surface.
They call out there, they're trying to, when you go to green, it's right here, the fleas go call around all on the other side of it, too. They get dry wise to it, too.
Yeah.
And you put your hand that you've got kerosene on over on the other side to catch it, put it back that way, and boy, they'll begin to come out to the surface right quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch that, see if I do touch it over there. It's cool. If I see them coming out, I slap that kerosene or rag right on them. Work back quickly.
Oh, you put it on with a rag?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have
a
rag.
I rub it down. I see it goes to the surface.
Yeah. But they don't, then those puppies, they don't love themselves. That odor stays with them a long time, don't it?
Yeah, they don't like it either.
Yeah.
did Vegas say? Are you?
Well, what are the things you buy in the store? Are they all odorless?
No, it's not. They get washed of that too. Bring nothing.
Oh yeah, we had two kittens.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. We had two kittens that they see us with that can of spray, and they take off.
Yeah, they get washed.
Oh really? Oh,
they
is that right?
Flatten their ears back and just head for the bedroom and under the bed or something as soon as they saw that can.
Oh, man, that feels good.
Right?
Nothing feels as good as a fresh
haircut. Sure does. Not, I really enjoy it. But I got to where I reckon I ought to work more than I do. But I can't afford ones like I want them. I have to get them when I can.
Yeah.
So, I had these clippers the other day. I was going to ask you, and I've forgotten it.
Yeah.
Brought these clips along. Clipping for
us. Well, I thought, when Jim and Suzanne were out here, that we get to visit a little bit. Who was that fella that come up when you was out there the other day?
Jim Means.
Was that? Yeah, he's tall.
Yeah, he picks oranges down here for Buddy Huff.
Oh, yeah.
Works for him.
And he comes around there?
Yeah. Well, he ain't there, but he... He and I used to play baseball together all the time. He don't let nobody cut his hair but me, young in the years.
Is that right?
And he brings me fruit every once in a while and pays me some too, but he don't want to get old 50 cents all over a haircut.
Yeah.
So I just let everyone give me what I want to. And you go out there. I went out there one night, this fella got us on the highway down there and got in a ditch in this dangerous place and he was drinking. I went out there way in the night and it was cold and freezing. I had the flu, but I had to get up and go and see if I could get that fellow off the highway. And I couldn't pull him out with my car. I believe I had a pickup truck. I couldn't pull him out. So that I figured that Jim could take his truck and pull him out. And I drove out there and got him. He come out there and pulled him out. And we asked him how much he owed him. He said, not a thing.
Oh, really?
He's just that kind of fellow.
Is that right?
Well, he had a wheel bar that wasn't worth fixing. Didn't look like couldn't be fixed. I kept over and I fixed it for him. And he's well pleased with it, you know. And he asked me how much he owed him.
Oh.
I said, nothing.
Do you want some water?
No, thank
you.
Well,
but,
you all ready to go?
He used to play baseball with you.
Yeah, I played, he wasn't grown, going to school. Glenn Gig and all them boys. I wanted to help train them to play baseball.
Oh, really?
Oh, still live around here?
Yeah. He lived just outside of Macanopy, out the Rochelle Road there. And
where's your brother Buck live?
Buck, he lived up there over the store.
Oh, here?
Yeah, Weaver Store.
Weaver Store.
Oh.
That's where my brother
is. That's your older brother?
Yeah.
I thought maybe he was still in Alabama. I didn't know he came to Florida.
No, well, I came in 21, and he came down, first of the 30s, I believe, somewhere about in the 30s. First of the 30s.
Mm-hmm. But
so, yeah,
Jimmy,
you've
known him since
he was
a boy.
Yeah. Mr. Weaver, you don't like you're so slow poking, you know, eating. Faye just fix you up a little something to take with it.
Well, that's too much trouble. She does that.
Let me tell you, what was you telling about Mr. Jim Means' wheelbarrow?
He brought it in. It looked like it was a thing with the wheels.